Now, for the rest of this hour, we're going to talk about slang. In the latest campaign news, Democratic presidential hopeful Senator John Kerry takes to the stump in the swing state of Iowa today, still riding high on the Big Mo from last week's debate as he counts the votes of everyone from the lunch pail crowd to security moms. Meanwhile, President George Bush is out on the campaign is out of campaign mode today, but will watch tonight's vice presidential debate. He will be among the millions tuning in tonight to see Vice President Dick Cheney and Senator John Edwards engage in baffle gab. The irreverent among you may even secretly hope to see Cheney lose his temper and flip Edwards a Rockefeller gesture. Afterwards, you can rely on the Bigfoot journalists in Spin Alley to analyze the event. Did we lose you here? Well, I'm lost, or a little bit anyway. Well, here to translate all that political mumbo-jumbo into plain English is Grant Barrett. He's the editor of Hatchet Jobs and Hardball, the Oxford Dictionary of American Political Slang. He joins us from our bureau in New York City. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Joe.
And we want to hear from you as well, whether you're a blue or red state, whether you're a flat footer or a floater. What's your favorite political slang term? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. That's 800-989-8255. Or send us an email at totn@npr.org. Grant, maybe you can unjumble that intro I read. Do you remember it well enough, or shall I go over it? What's a Rockefeller gesture?
That is the bird, the finger, the middle digit. It goes back to, I think it was 1972 when, I guess it was Governor Rockefeller made that gesture at an airport. And it's been used here and there ever since to refer to somebody who's just kind of had enough.
Uh-huh. And what about, well, maybe some of these are self-explanatory. I guess the Big Mo, well, we sports fans know about that. That's momentum, right?
Sure. And it's opposed by Little Mo. Big Mo meaning that a campaign is going so well that it can withstand the ups and downs of the polls. And no matter what kind of news comes out or whatever the opponents might say, claiming that you have Big Mo means that you think that you're going to win.
Huh. Baffle gab?
Baffle gab actually is an interesting word because it was a coinage, actually coined by somebody in the, let me see if I got this right, in the State Department in the 1960s, was it? And it's very rare that a word should be coined and actually catch on, and the man, and you'd be able to take it back to the beginning and say, we know exactly who coined this word. His name actually was Milton Smith, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, in 1952. And he really just kind of nailed, there was such a need for a word to describe the bureaucraties and the jargon that the word caught fire and we're still using it.
Hmm. Although I can think of some newer words that have sort of made it into the lexicon that were absolutely made up. Yahoo and Google come to mind. But I guess it happens. But it's interesting that somebody actually did it in a federal bureaucracy.
Yeah, Yahoo and Google are interesting examples of words where they've kind of played off of the pre-existing word in order to and just kind of attach their brand onto it. Mm. So you can have a Yahoo or a Yahoo from Gulliver's Travels. Although there's a negative connotation there, it also's got the cowboy rodeo Yahoo as well.
Yeah, and so. I guess in the political sphere, the phrase that where's the beef was co-opted by a political campaign long
ago.
And
you know what? You still hear that. How many years has it been now? 20 years? Wow. And Clara Peller has long since gone the way that we'll all go.
She was the actress who asked that question. Was it a Burger King commercial?
Yeah, it was a Wendy's commercial,
Wendy's,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shows what I know. Bigfoot journalists, I guess that's pretty obvious. That's us, huh?
Well, maybe NPR is a Bigfoot journalist. Are you, Joe? I don't know. I can't see
I don't know.
You from
what
here.
Is it? What is a Bigfoot? Okay, if I'm not, what is it?
Well, in the zoo plane, which is the airplane that accompanies presidents and presidential candidates, and on the bus, where you have the boys on the bus, there are journalists of national prominence who kind of always the ones who get to get their questions in, and maybe they get more access to the candidates or more access to the politicians or more access to the staff. Those are the Bigfoots. They kind of stomp all over the
Sam
guys.
Donaldsons of the world, if I can use, maybe that's not fair. Maybe it's unfair to name names, but I always think of him as he was the one that shouted the loudest.
Well, you know, if that's what gets the story.
I guess. Okay. our callers have some questions, so let's hear what they have to say. Let's go first to Peter in Jacksonville, Florida. Peter, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was curious about how the terms left and right originated, and is it the same as liberal and conservative?
Okay. What about that?
I don't have my full resources at my disposal, so I'm going to wing this one.
Okay,
but
wing
the,
away.
The left and the right come from, I believe, the House of Commons and Britain, in England, where the two different parties sat on each side of the middle aisle. It's a very literal source of the terms. Again, if I'm remembering correctly, the terms are so closely tied, left to liberal and right to conservative, now that we would have a hard time accommodating ourselves if they were switched. But the truth is that in many state houses and many houses of government around the world, parliaments or what have you, while there may be a middle aisle, because of the political systems, you don't always find the left to be the liberals and the right to be the conservatives.
Well, maybe if somebody from the British Embassy is listening, they can confirm or deny that, as it may be. But then that gets into the question about red and blue. Now they always color states on the maps on the TV screens when they're talking about who's Republican and who's Democrat. How did we get to red and blue, do you know?
It was the 2000 election. Very new terminology, although prior to 2000, you can actually go back and read news stories where the colors were reversed. Now we have it where the red states are Republican states and the blue states are Democratic states. But previously, it was arbitrary. It was up to, I guess, the graphics department of whatever television networks there were who were doing the the big electoral maps on the television screen. So, but it became fixed in 2000. For some reason, it's settled. And I wouldn't be surprised to find that blue and red states continue as long as the Democratic and the Republican parties continue.
Well, I guess it would be useful, certainly, if all the networks agreed on the same colors, so you didn't get blue on CBS for Democrats and blue on ABC for Republicans or something like that.
You know, I haven't actually checked, but that'd be a great little study for someone to do. I actually think since 2000 they've been very consistent about it.
Well, would make sense. Anyway,
I'd hope so, anyway.
Let's take a call from Nancy in Jeffersonville, Minnesota. Is that right, Nancy?
Indiana,
okay. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Our congressman, Barron Hill, is part of the Blue Dog Democrat Coalition, I guess it is. They're fiscally responsible, or moderate, and I'm not sure where the Blue Dog part of it came from. I guess it plays off of the Yellow Dog Democrats. But I like the image of the Blue Dog.
Okay.
In fact, I have an official Blue Dog Democrat button.
Okay, so maybe, Grant Barrett, you can tell us where Blue Dog, and for that matter, Yellow Dog came from.
Nancy is right. A Blue Dog does play off of Yellow Dog Democrat. A Blue Dog Democrat is, it actually was a name that they gave themselves, a coalition of fiscally moderate to conservative Democratic House members. Although these days it's more generalized to be any conservative Democrat, usually from the South. Supposedly, and
from California and Indiana and places like that as well.
Right.
Yes, they are. They are. It's become their little core group. Actually, they found that a lot of other representatives identified with them and wanted to join in, and other people have since taken the mantle who are not even affiliated with that group. Supposedly, it comes from the Louisiana artist George Rodriguez, who did paintings showing a blue dog in political situations. And I've seen these paintings, and they're very nice.
Yellow
Dog Democrat goes back a little further. And actually, I want to read to you a quote from the book. All of the definitions in here are kind of supported by citations from media and print resources. But this quote from the New York Times in 1883, so this one's got some history. A Yellow Dog Democrat is a steadfast Democrat Party loyalist. And this quote, there is no eagerness shown, however, among Republicans to seek office at this time, when Democrats can see nothing but certain victory awaiting them. Why, we could nominate Yellow Dogs this spring and elect everyone upon the ticket by a big majority, said one of the Democratic ward statesmen today. And although it's not certain that that particular statement is the source of Yellow Dog Democrat, the timing is certainly right for it.
All right, we're talking with Grant Barrett, editor of Hatchet Jobs and Hardball, the Oxford Dictionary of American Political Slang. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's read a couple emails here. There's Mark Olson writes, I like the SNL moment, which is a moment that will be mocked on Saturday Night Live. So I guess that one's made it in to the lexicon, the SNL moment, or has it? I guess it has in some sense. And then here's from Dave, a person who acts, one you don't hear too often, a person who acts independently or remains neutral, especially in politics, often mugwump. a Republican who bolted the party in 1884, refusing to support presidential candidate James G. Blaine. Mugwump. We don't hear that one very often, do we?
We don't. It's a bit of a novelty now. It's a thing that comes. It's like a four-year cicada. It comes out at the time of political presidential elections. But it actually has got a great history. Lexicographer Jonathan Leiter, who I work with, actually has done a very good job of researching. It goes back to the Algonquin language. And there are usages of the word back to as far as 1663 to indicate somebody in charge, an officer, a captain, or a duke. So the idea of a big shot or a big cheese or, you know, the top dog has always been there with that word. And it kind of modified over time to take it just a slightly pejorative sense of somebody who thought of themselves as too good or beyond the party's interest.
So. I see. So it has a nicer, it's nicer phrase to read, I think, than the big enchilada. I like
that. Certainly, yes.
Okay. Let's go to a caller next. Joe in Barnhart, Missouri. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Okay.
Say, maybe Grant could tell me if I coined a word or not. Refers to one party more than the other, probably. Spin dizzy.
Okay, Joe, good question.
I think that refers to the entire nation, doesn't it?
Spin
We're
dizzy.
All kind of spin dizzy. Spin master, spin meister, spinsters, spin alley, spin valley, spin room. Everybody's spinning.
So spin dizzy. If it isn't a word, maybe it should be. Let's take a call from Chris in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
I had heard a different version of where left and right came from on NPR. Oh, probably about a year ago.
Okay. Do you recall what it was?
Yes. King Louis XVI in France, prior to the revolution, there was some pressure, and he took on a representative from the poor, and he also had a representative from the aristocracy. And the representative from the aristocracy sat on his right when he was on his throne, and from the poor on the left.
Hmm. It's entirely possible. Which King Louis was that?
16, I think?
The 16th.
Yeah, but that wouldn't necessarily explain liberal and conservative as being associated with left and right.
No, but that was a reference for left and right, and then later the left and the right basically came down to right being conservative, being those with the money and the power, and left with, all the rest of us.
Well, I don't know if the Democrats or the liberal Democrats would be happy with that phrase, although if all the rest of us includes a majority, I guess they'd take it. Anyway, Chris, thanks very much for that call. Grant Barrett, in the last minute or so that we have, are there any slang terms that have died off but you'd like to see make a comeback? Mugwump,
oh, no,
I guess we've all fallen in love with Mugwump now, but maybe.
Of course we have. Uh-huh. There's too many new ones to waste our time with the old ones. The old ones will continue to lurk beneath the surface, and whenever they're called, they'll come like Batman. The slang really just kind of persists without any real overt effort to continue it. I think... a couple interesting ones that have come out this political season that we should look for is to see whether or not the Dean Scream actually has any kind of endurance, if it's
the
something that
Dean
people
Scream.
Will continue to refer to. There's a couple other ones. RINO, Republican in name only, an acronym, RINO. The John ticket, which, I don't know, doesn't really have any cachet, does it?
No.
Is it Garrison State, Knife Edge State, Swing State, Battleground State, Purple State?
You think any of those will stick around?
You know, I intend to keep track of them for the next 20 or 30 years. I'll come back and we'll talk about it then.
I guess. I'm still intrigued by the fact that we've got a second JFK. I mean, I'm old enough to have those initials resonate something with me.
Well, there's no doubt that whatever kind of political power that he can get from those three initials, John Kerry is doing it. I mean, no politician will spare any effort to get elected, and he's no different.
Okay. Grant Barrett, thanks very much for speaking with us
Thank
today.
Thank you, Joe.
Grant Barrett is the editor of Hatchet Jobs and Hardball, the Oxford Dictionary of American Political Slang. He also runs the Double Tongue Word Wrestler website, which you can find a link to at npr.org. We spoke to him from our New York bureau. Bye, Chad. Catch you around the quad in Washington. I'm Joe Palca, NPR News.